I'm going to start this out with a story. A story that happened to me this week. I think maybe God was trying to tell me something. But anyway, what was it, Wednesday, the day it was so hot, we didn't have rain, because I think I was busy on Monday and Tuesday. Well, I decided I needed to get my yard mowed and get the weed whacking done. I don't know if that's a hillbilly term or not, weed whacking, but that's the one I use. So my yard was looking pretty bad. So I got my glass of ice water. I got a big mug Maria got for me for Christmas. I filled it up with ice and with water, and I took it out on the front, set it on the stoop, got my weed whacker out and started around the house and got along the fence done. So I got the tractor and started mowing. Got the side done. I thought, well, time to get down back. So I got the weed whacker and I started by the driveway and working my way down. Before I know it, I'm clear down to the woods. I got the trees and I'm doing along the bank down along the woods, and I run out of gas. About the same time I run out of the gas, I realized how thirsty I was and how hot it was. And I turn around and look. I don't know how many of you have been to my house, but you know from my house to the woods is all downhill. So I turned around and look, and not only am I thirsty, I was so thirsty my tongue was sticking to the roof of my mouth. I got a weed whacker that's out of gas, and I look up, and there's all that way up the hill back to the house, and my glass of ice water is in the front of the house sitting on the stoop. And I am really thirsty. So up the hill I go. To make a long story shorter, I made it. I got my water and I didn't die on the way. So,
yeah.
But the thirst, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about thirst. I mean really, really thirsty.
Yeah.
Not that just when, well, I got to get up off the couch and go to the kitchen to get a glass of water. But that thirst that comes when you're clear down by the woods and your glass of water is up the front of the house along the road. You ever been thirsty like that? Well, I got another story for you. This happened in 1996. This was a young corporal, a Marine corporal, that was on an aircraft carrier. They were patrolling in the Iranian Sea. Well, somehow this young man, Joey Mora, fell overboard. His absence wasn't known for 36 hours. Now, I need to tell you, this is a true story. This isn't a made-up story for a message. Well, once they discovered he was gone, they launched search and rescue. And they searched, for another 24 hours. And they couldn't find him. They didn't think anyone could survive in the ocean without a life jacket for 60 hours. So his parents were notified. They were told that he was lost, he was missing and presumed dead. Well, the unbelievable events, this young man was picked up after 72 hours after he'd fallen into the water from the aircraft carrier by some Pakistani fishermen. He was delirious. He was floating around on a homemade life preserver he made out of his pants. Well, the story continued 2 years later. He was on NBC Dateline. They were interviewing and talking about it, about how he survived. And he attributed it to God and his faith. But he said the worst thing of the whole ordeal was the thirst. He was so thirsty. And yet here he was floating in all this water, surrounded by water, and he had this thirst that he couldn't quench. And that's what we want to talk about. A thirst that can't be quenched by what's around us. We float through this world. We're surrounded by things that we long for, things that we desire, that we thirst for. See, every man, woman, and child has a thirst for something. There's something in your life, something around you that you really want. Maybe for one man, there's a thirst for knowledge. You enjoy school, you study, and you continue studying. You learn and more, you get more degrees, but it never ends because you have a thirst for more knowledge. The more you know, the more you realize there's that much more to learn. Maybe another man thirsts after money. Now most of us know that's a dead-end street. You work and you work, you work all the overtime you work beyond your endurance, striving to get more and more money. I heard of people attending functions, not so much because they wanted to go, but just for the business contacts. So you can have more contacts, make more money. Another thirst after pleasure. You go from one thing to another, just trying to be happy, to bring pleasure to yourself. And your purpose is to drain every little bit of pleasure out of this life that you can get. And then there's those that thirst for power. I've known a few of these myself. He wants people to come to him. He wants to be in control, in charge, and nothing matters except what he wants. And the more powerful you become, the more power you want. It's self-feeding. It's never-ending. It goes on and on and on. But there is good news. You see, Jesus knows. He knows every one of these desires. He knows every one of these thirsts that we have, whether it's money, power, pleasure, thirst for things. Jesus knows, but he also knows that we can't satisfy our thirst with those worldly things. Our scripture for today, our main scripture, is John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." We'll never find fulfillment as long as we thirst after the things of this world. We're thirsting after the things of Satan's domain. But the defining moment in a Christian life comes when we understand that our thirst can only be quenched with spiritual water. That we have to thirst for God. That we have to stay thirsty for God. John 7:37, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" I'll explain that scripture in just a second, the context of it. But first, think about our country. As Americans, we love to celebrate things. We love to celebrate, have parties. You know, they say the three great national feasts are, for secular America, is Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the 4th of July. And I've read now that we need to add Halloween because they say there's more decorating goes on Halloween and more parties than at Christmas and the 4th of July. So we'll say we have four great parties for our country, secular parties. Now the Jewish people, they love to celebrate too. They called their holidays feasts. And there were three great national feasts that they celebrated. The first one was the Feast of the Passover. The second one was Feast of Tabernacles, or the Pentecost. And the third was the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is when Jesus stood up and spoke at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the reason it made so much difference, or it meant so much, you see, the Feast of Tabernacles is kind of like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the 4th of July all rolled into one. It's one huge party at the temple. It was a happy, high holy day for the Jewish nation. And during the feast, the priest would go down to the Pool of Siloam and he would take a golden pitcher and dip it in the water and he would carry it back to the altar and he would pour it over the altar. At that moment, the Levites would blow their trumpets and they'd sing and they'd shout and they'd say, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." There was great rejoicing, dancing, singing. And right then, at the height of this celebration, is when the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Wow. What would the Israelites be thinking? Here's this Jesus stood up when the water was poured on the altar. And he said, "Come to me." That's like throwing cold water, no pun intended, in the face of the celebration. But see, Jesus realized they were drinking from a pool of ritual. They did this because it was the way it was done. But Jesus knew he'd come with a better way. He knew that right after this celebration, they would go back to the same old ways. They'd go back to their houses. The same old faults, the same old failures, and the same old frustrations. The water on the altar didn't change a thing. And what was wrong with that crowd is what's wrong with this crowd today. We're drawing water from the wrong well. In that day they drew water from a pool, and yet there stood Jesus Christ, the source of joy, of eternal water, spiritual water, to quench every need that they had. And today I think we draw from the worldly well instead of from the spiritual water of Jesus Christ. So if you want to gain, if you want to have some of that spiritual water, you have to have a thirst for it. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink." We have to desire that water first. But you see, he laid down some conditions just in that sentence. If anyone. That means it's open to anyone. Any one of us. It's open to us. And the fourth word, thirsts. If anyone thirsts, we have to have that thirst. That's a condition to come to him. You have to seek him. You have to have a thirst for that living water. He said, if anyone wants the living water, they can obtain it. If anyone seeks God, they can find him. It's open to everyone. It's not contained in here. It's worldwide. Take just a minute now and think. Outside these walls, how many of your friends, how many of your families, your co-workers need a refreshing from Jesus Christ? And I'm not just talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians also. They go through life with a frown on their face. But the water of Jesus could wash that frown away and bring them hope. So why do so many Christians today settle for less of Jesus? How many of you have seen in a field fresh water bubbling up out of the ground, a spring? Now sometimes the farmers don't like it because it makes the field wet. But it's something to see the water bubbling up out of the ground. And you know, if you bring a truck, dump a truckload of dirt on that to cover it over, it's just a matter of time that water finds its way back. You're right, Rodney. It'll find a way back to the surface and it'll bubble up again. And so it is with Jesus in our lives. You can have the worst week in your life. Time you get to Friday or Saturday, you're really dragging. But still, inside of you, that wellspring of life will be bubbling up. You can dump a dump truck of troubles, and yet still it'll bubble up. Christ will find a way. Psalm 63:1 says, "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." King David had a spiritual thirst. We need to pay attention to this verse. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. What you're seeking isn't in the world around us. It's the water that bubbles up inside of us from knowing Jesus Christ, from seeking Him out. So how do we stir up this spiritual thirst? Well, first thing, we have to desire it. We've already read that in the Scripture. And then we have to come to Jesus to obtain it. Now, you know, we can come to Jesus reading our Bible and praying. But I believe the best way to stir up the spiritual water in our lives is in this very building right here. You know, this is just a building, nothing special. It's made out of bricks and wood and drywall. There's nothing special until we come together in here for worship. Then it becomes something special. When we come here to worship, we're surrounded by an ocean of living water. Our spiritual thirst bubbles up in the Bible study, in the sermons, and the fellowships. Don't think for a minute that when we leave here and go over next door in the fellowship hall to have our lunch together today, that there isn't spiritual water bubbling up over there also, because we're sharing with each other. We're taking the time to be Christian brothers and sisters. That's where we find out about what's going on in each other's lives. That's when Christ bubbles up inside of us. That's where the thankfulness comes out. See, during worship we sing and we're quenching our souls. We listen to scriptures. They hydrate our lives. So why do so many still go away thirsty? Why do so many Christians today go back to the same old grind of their life? They come to church to be refreshed, but something holds them back. I think all of us at some time in our life, we've experienced that physical dehydration that I was talking about earlier, about just needing that drink of water. Our whole being longs for a drink. And that's why I'm asking you today, can you have that same longing for the spiritual water that you need in your life? Psalm 42:1, it says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. We have to capture that spiritual thirst. We have to be thirsty and long for God in our lives. And I don't believe you'll ever have a close relationship with God the Father until you learn that thirst, that need, where you have to push the world aside and focus on Him and Him alone. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. I hold on to that promise as I go through my day-to-day life, knowing whatever is going on around me, whatever I perceive as a problem or troubles or pressure, Jesus is telling me, come to me, and I will give you that spiritual refreshing you need to get through this day. But see, God will lead you to the spiritual water, but He won't make you drink. And you don't absorb it by osmosis. You just don't stand there and it's absorbed through your skin. It takes an action on your part. You have to realize you have that need, and then you have to go to Jesus and accept it. If you want to be filled, you have to drink. You know, as Christians and as humans, non-Christians alike, we rely on our feelings. We don't rely on God. We look at what feels good instead of what God promises us. And in the end, we'll never be satisfied. That thirst will never be quenched. I read that while Jesus gives us spiritual water, the world drains us of all that we have. And in the end, we realize what we've missed and what we've wasted. We're left parched and dehydrated. So you can choose to satisfy your thirst doing whatever feels right at the time, but that'll only temporarily satisfy you. Or you can choose to satisfy your thirst by doing what God says, and this will satisfy you for good. And I'll tell you, sometimes you choose to satisfy your thirst with God, it'll be hard. It could be painful. It could go against what our culture teaches us today. But in the end, it's the only way. It's the only way to be satisfied. We all thirst. And I don't care how proud or how strong you are. And man, I'm talking to you. We long to feel loved. And God is the only one that can give us that unconditional love. You're not that tough, man. You need to admit you need the love of God in your life. You need the love of your family in your life. You need refreshing that comes from admitting that and accepting the spiritual water of Christ. We long to have a purpose. Everyone wants to have a purpose. We can gauge our purpose against the things of this world, or we can gauge our purpose against Christ and what He wants for us and be filled with the spiritual water. We thirst for joy, for happiness. But I want to tell you today, lasting joy and lasting happiness can only come from Christ. We laugh about men's toys and boys' toys, and those are things, and they won't bring you happiness. So the key word today isn't thirst, because everyone's thirsty. It's how you quench that thirst. So I guess the key word today will be obey. Obey the Word of God and turn away from the worldly things and set your sight on Jesus Christ. If you choose God, that thirst will be quenched. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. Just listen for a minute. Think about this. Where are you at today? Are you tired of living without a spiritual passion, a zeal for God? Are you tired of just going through the motions of life and never really feeling fulfilled? Are you feeling this morning that you're spiritually dry? Well, the Lord invites you this morning to come to Him. To come for that spiritual renewing. To yield to Him this morning. To be obedient to Him this morning. Remember the promise that our Lord made. If anyone is thirsty, let them to come to Me and drink. That's open to you this morning. So are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for God this morning? His invitation only has one requirement. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to Me. This requires a choice, and that choice is up to you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You so much for the examples that You give us in the Bible. Father, I thank You for those that are here today, and it's my prayer that You will impress on all of us our need for that life-giving spiritual water, Father. I just pray, Father, You guide us to You and to that understanding. And Father, I just pray for blessings for everyone here today, Father, and for those that are home, that are sick, that couldn't make it. Father, I lift them up to You also. Father, I want to pray for our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, the lost, Father. Use us to share this message of the living water. How to quench our thirst once and for all. Help us have that desire, Father, that need to be with you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.